Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we began a new sermon series looking from the beginning of history in the Bible to today of how we've gotten to worship being where it is today. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, we talked about the beginnings of worship that came out of Genesis 3 and was a very individualistic worship, that there was no structure, there was no laws, there was no corporate nature to it, but it was with each person desiring to come closer to God, humbly before him, to give him their offerings, to give him their praise, and to seek to be more in God's image as God had created humans to be. But it was something between the hearts of the individual and with God. So this week we begin into the book of Exodus, if you didn't pick up from our Ten Commandments reading this morning, and look at how worship began as a corporate event. Well, to think about this, I was thinking about my Aiden. Because my Aiden, a few weeks ago, joined for the first time the Cub Scouts. Now, I have to ask, as I say Cub Scouts, how many people were a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout? Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts? How about Girl Scouts? Notice I had my hand up for both. I was a Girl Scout and I was a Boy Scout, if you can believe that. But I loved scouting. I did it all growing up. Just thought that it was a wonderful organization to be a part of. And so excited for Aiden to start this. Kylie's had everything else going on, so she really hasn't had time for Girl Scouts. But I needed something for Aiden, and sports really hasn't been his niche. He's not a real athletic kind of a kid, and the competitive bone is just not in his body. He didn't get that part of his mama. And so sports hasn't really been working, and I thought, he needs something to be with other kids and committed to a group, and I thought scouts would be great. And I love it because right in the beginning, the very first thing they did was have to get their bridging to become Bobcats, okay? And to be a Bobcat in Cub Scouts, they had to memorize the Cub Scout oath and be able to say it. And so we worked with Aiden over and over again. I, Aiden Asher Dixon, promise to do my best to God and to do my duty to God and my country. I mean, his whole oath that he learned. He had to learn the Cub Scout handshake. He had to learn the Cub Scout sign. And he had to learn the Cub Scout salute. And he had to learn the law of the pack. He had to learn what his oath was going to be, of what it was about, and all of the things that make him a Cub Scout with all the other Cub Scouts. These are the ones that all Cub Scouts do. And then he got to have a ceremony to become Bobcat and start working towards his Tiger Cub. And I loved this because this was an opportunity for Aiden to really see what it means to be committed to a group, and a group that is a worldwide group. And for him to be able to learn these things and to hear about all the other people in his family that have learned this same oath and these same signs, and for him to learn that he's a part of something bigger and what it means to be committed to that. You on board with me here of what this is? All right. So I was thinking about that as I was getting into our scripture for this morning and where we go with worship. Because here it is, folks. We want to look at this law, these 10 commandments and the 600 and something laws of Leviticus that come with it. And we want to make it feel like we're carrying this around. I preached from this during the 8 o'clock service because both my preaching Bibles had been in here. And I have to tell you, it felt so heavy to carry this for the whole sermon, to be having this weighing my hand down. And it just felt like a burden. And I think so often the laws of the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments and all the Levitical laws feel like this Bible. They feel burdensome. They feel heavy. They feel like God has put an incredible amount upon us to try to learn and remember and live. And so what do we tend to do? But we tend to just kind of disregard most of them as that was the Old Testament and we get to live in the New Testament. But these 10 remain. They sit outside of courthouses and they sit in important places and we post them in Sunday school. But do we really know what these 10 commandments were about? as we look at the stage of worship. And I bring Cub Scouts because, to me, I look at these laws and I see these laws as the initiation into a community of believers. These nomads, these separate family units that were only connected by all being called the children of God, but weren't connected through anything else, became bound as a community and bound to God through these laws. This is what initiated them into an identity of believers. And God begins it with good news. He begins this covenant, he begins this oath, he begins this initiation with the good news of saying, I am your Lord God. I start out from the beginning with my promise. I am your God. I created you in my image. I sustained you. I saved you from slavery. I've been providing for you in the desert. I am your God, and I am here to care for you. That's my end. I will take care of you. Now here's what I need from you. And he begins it by saying, you shall have no other gods before me. And he goes on from there to say, and you will have no false idols to worship. And guess what? I am a jealous God. If you bring in those idols, if you worship other gods, if you put things before me, I'm going to be upset, and I feel justified in it because I'm fulfilling my end of the bargain, and this is what I want from you. He says, I want all of you to be in covenant with me to say, you are the primary God. You are the one that does all things for me, and I will worship you first and above all else. And second, I will make no idols of this earth. I will make nothing that I bow down to and put before you, nothing that I will allow get between me and my faith in you. These seem so simple. They seem so simple when we teach them to kids, but these are not so simple. We spend time worshiping everything else of this world. We build false idols out of everything around us. We let things get between us and our worship of God. God was saying, you know, I put no restrictions. I put no parameters. I put no structure. All you had to do was spend time kneeling down and giving praise to me and spending time with me. And you were failing to do so in just that simple task. So here I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get jealous when you don't do it. I'm going to get jealous when you're not spending time in worship with me. I'm going to get jealous when your time is committed to other things ahead of me. I'm going to get jealous because I'm holding up my end of the bargain. He says, worship me first. Don't make idols. He says, don't misuse my name. You've been using it to praise me. You've been using it to say you're good to me, but you're misusing it. You're lifting it and invoking it for negative reasons. And he says, if my name is coming out of your mouth, it should be of glory and praise and honor to me, because that is what I deserve. Because of what I've done for you. If my name is coming out of your mouth, may it be in worship. And finally he says, and now I tell you, now that I've got you in this desert, now that you are totally reliant on me and we are starting over, now you get 6 days to work, 6 days to do everything that you need. And on that 7th day, that's for me. I get 1 day for me. I get 1 day when you stop working, when you stop doing everything, and you spend time with me, recharging your batteries, lifting your spirit, and being present with me. He says, I deserve it. I earned it. I could create the earth in 6 days and have a day off. Do you have a bigger job than creating the earth that you say, I need 7 out of 7. And so here in the Ten Commandments, he establishes a day of worship. He says, you're not taking it enough. You're not spending enough time in worship with me, so I am now going to designate a day. And he says, now I give you Leviticus. And within Leviticus, I'm going to tell you how you do that worship. We're going to be in covenant and an understanding. And I'm going to tell you how to build your altar. And I'm going to tell you exactly where it goes. And I'm going to tell you exactly which offerings go upon it. I'm going to design the Holy of Holies and the temple that goes around it. I'm going to design where you can be in presence and worship with me. And guess what? You're not doing it on your own. You need somebody to guide you, somebody to mentor you, somebody to lead you. So out of Aaron's house, I'm going to give you the priests, those who will guide you, those who will lead in worship. And then he says, now come together. This is no longer just an individual thing. This is not just about I felt God's presence and I'm going to get down on my hands and knees and give thanks to God. Or life's getting tough and I need God, so I'm going to get down on my hands and knees and I'm going to be in worship and recognize him as God and tell him what I need. But it's not just an individual walk anymore. God says, now that you are a community of Israel, now that you are out of the grasp of Egypt, now that you are in the desert as an isolated community, now you will worship together. Now you will support one another in worship. Now you will lift voices together in worship. Now you will give praise loud as a corporate voice in worship. For Christ puts it in a better way. When he says, where two or three are gathered, there I am with you. I now build you to be a community. In Ecclesiastes, it says, you know, a cord of one easily broken, two still easily broken, but three is hard to break. The more we are together, the more we are on our hands and knees together, the more we are worshiping together, the stronger of a community that we are, the stronger we get to be in our walk when we're in worship together, when we're lighting candles together, when we're tying knots together, when we're singing together, when we're eating together, when we're taking communion together. God says, do it together to achieve strength of the body. He knew sitting in that desert that tough times were going to come. He knew what the history of Israel was going to be, that they were going to be working to reclaim their land, and then outside enemies were going to come approach upon them and try to take it. And so he established community through this worship and said, all right, together you can be strong and do it in worship to me. You see, the first four commandments are about us and God, of how we worship, of how we honor, of how we put him first. But then the next six are how we are in community with one another. Not murder, don't do adultery, don't covet, don't lie about your neighbor. He says, you need me in our established relationship, but you need each other just as much. Today we see that we are one of the greatest communities that has our oaths and our covenants. We have our Lord's prayers and apostles' creeds and doxologies and hymns that we sing and recite together. We do it of one voice to be in worship together, to realize that our identity is greatest as one body. And so today we fulfill this covenant. Not giving up on meeting with one another, as the Apostle Paul says, but gathering in worship, supporting and encouraging one another, being this body. We are not islands. We are all individual in nature, but we are corporate in our DNA of how God desires for us to be. And so this morning I challenge you to think, how can you be in greater community? How can you be making sure that you don't just have your time of worship and prayer with just you and God thinking, I can do this on my own? But how are you committing to be together with those who are like-minded, to be lifting a voice of worship together and drawing strength from one another so that we can face what comes at us from this world as one strong chord of Christ in praise and glory to God? My friends, will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this community that you give us, that you have built this house, that you have established this place for us to be in worship with you, that it's not just about each one of us, that this isn't something that we tackle on our own, but that you have given us each other to be in worship with, that you have said, I have a community, and I anoint it with my Holy Spirit and guide it in all ways. We give you thanks for this, and we pray that you continue to pour out your blessings on each one of us because of this faith community, because of this worship that we give you, and because of all that we do together. For all of this, we pray in your most mighty and unified name. Amen.